Go to HoustonTexans.com to register for your chance to win Lunch with a Texan, which includes lunch in the Texans cafeteria with the Texans Community Player of the Year, food provided by Whataburger, and a tour of the Houston Texans team facilities. November's nominees are cornerback Kareem Jackson, offensive lineman Xavier Suafilo, and running back Chris Chicken and Shrimp Polk. Every vote automatically enters you to win a Whataburger VIP pack, which includes tickets to a Texans game and front-of-the-line access to the Community Player of the Year appearance.
I couldn't be more prouder of this team. But look, this is what we're capable of doing. We got to do some things better. We know that. But we just came in here on the road and beat an 8-0 team. And you ought to be damn proud of yourself because you worked your ass. And you know what your reward is?
What?
You can wear sweats home.
All right, well, we didn't get the memo about wearing sweats home. I was still dressed to the nines riding home on that flight at 4 a.m.
And how do you react that way about wearing sweats? I don't get that excited about anything.
Well, I know you're excited to be here, Patty Smith, alongside the voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer, wrapping up what might be, and I think you even said it, one of the biggest wins in franchise history.
Absolutely, and I did get excited about that, Patty, because it was one of the best wins we've ever seen the Houston Texans get, considering the situation, I think. You were playing an undefeated team. You were 3-5. A lot of questions about what kind of performance was going to come out on a Monday night in which, look, let's face it, on the road earlier, you had bad games against Atlanta and Miami. Had they exercised those demons from their system? The answer was yes. Brilliant defensive performance. And the other phases worked out just fine. Special teams was terrific with Shane Leckler, and the offense did just enough to win the football game.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the offense. We'll get to the defense, who were just stellar, in just a moment. But enter T.J. Yates after Brian Hoyer goes out with that concussion. And you and I talked all week about the magic of T.J. Yates against the Cincinnati Bengals, and boy, did he deliver.
Well, the first pass was to the feet of Ryan Griffin. I thought, uh-oh. But he got going. The first pass completion to Griffin was to convert a third down. Then later in the drive, he hits Griffin again on another conversion. And then our HCC play of the week, no doubt about it, left side of the end zone. Same end zone where he hit Kevin Walter 4 years ago. He finds DeAndre Hopkins for the go-ahead touchdown.
Second and 10. Yates. Hopkins. He went up and caught it for the touchdown. What a play by DeAndre Hopkins on Adam Jones. And the Texans take the lead with T.J. Yates at the helm.
Did not take T.J. Yates long to find out where to go in a one-on-one situation. Hopkins has made some of the great down-the-field catches that I've seen. Pac-Man Jones in great coverage. He went up and got that with his left hand and secured it. What a play by Hopkins.
DeAndre Hopkins, simply amazing. It's like you see these Odell Beckham catches, and I saw Odell tweeted him kind of out of respect. Those two are just phenomenal with what they can do.
Yeah, and Antonio Brown as well tweeted about DeAndre's ability to catch the ball in flight. You know, he goes up to the highest possible point and pulls it down, so the defensive back really doesn't, I'm not going to say doesn't stand a chance, but less of a chance. Hopkins, amazing, one-handed, just a tremendous play.
Well, I am not going to by any stretch of the imagination say that the Houston Texans are better without Jadeveon Clowney in the lineup, but Whitney Mercilus, given the opportunities, has really stepped up.
Well, there's no question. He's a first-round draft choice himself. He's a veteran now. They re-signed him for a reason, and he's highly productive, getting into the backfield, making noise, but I'm with you. Clowney's got to play. I don't know how they work it out starting-wise and who's on what side or whatever, because I still want to see Clowney out there in pass rush situations. Clowney's good against the run as well. It's not because Clowney's missing that they're doing this. They're doing it in spite of that, but they're finding ways to make plays no matter who's on the field, and that's what you want to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And, in fact, I had a chance to catch up with Whitney Mercilus earlier in the week and talk to him about just that.
Dalton in the gun, fakes the give. On the end around goes to Marvin Jones, but he's dropped down deep in the backfield by Whitney Mercilus.
All right, the Bengals game still probably fresh on your mind, fresh on everyone's mind. A big victory, perhaps one of the biggest wins probably in franchise history. Just sort of what do you guys as players, what did you walk away from that game taking away? What did you feel?
Pretty much the starting of the season off, the second half of the season, 1-0 pretty much. And, we were looking for it, being it. A clean slate coming off the first half of the season and all that. So what we took away is, we're good. We understand that, we can play our ball. you know, how we play it on defense, offense, and then also special teams.
But you guys knew you were good. You knew you were good coming into the season in training camp. I mean, you and I have talked about it. This was supposed to be a highly touted, a great defense. What really was it that has changed, if you can pinpoint anything, from these last couple of games?
Pretty much, we always evaluate ourselves, and you know, we really took a hard look at ourselves during the bye week, and just trying to eliminate our mistakes, penalties, turning the ball over, things like that, and just playing great complementary football, capitalizing on opportunities, like defense gets a turnover, offense goes out, scores, and also special teams putting us in great field position.
When you know, there's a lot of buzzwords out there, especially from us in the media, and this week it's kind of been turn the corner. Mm-hmm. You know, the defense finally has turned the corner. Do you feel that there's something to that? Has this defense turned a corner since Tennessee?
I'd say so. Pretty much, we're just getting back to the basics, just playing our ball, playing aggressive, fast, smart football as well, and starting to get turnovers and all that.
Linebacking core has been up and down, a little thin at times. You've had the opportunity to step up these last couple weeks, and really another one of these probably media buzzwords is, but the defense is better with Whitney Mercilus in there. You know, obviously you're not going to say, oh, well, of course they are, but you know, how do you feel, I guess, you've made the most of your opportunities here these last few weeks?
That's just how the league goes. One guy goes down, the next guy has to step up and play in a big way. That's what O'Brien, you know, his philosophy has rained down upon the locker room. And, just for me personally, each time I get out there, I want to be able to take advantage of all my opportunities, and I feel like I've been able to do that.
Do you have a different mindset, whether you're starting or not?
No, not really. I mean, each week I prepare as if I'm a starter, and pretty much I just go in there and just when my number's called, I go out there and just try to play the best game that I can.
Well, clearly Whitney's having his best season as a Texan, and 7 games to go, a lot more production to be had.
Absolutely. All right, we've taken another time out here on the show, but don't go anywhere. When we come back, we'll do a little fantasy looking into as well as looking forward to the New York Jets. Stay with us.